Yo, I'm in 5 halls of fame. I wear a kilt. I play the bagpipes. Who am I? Huh? I'm Roddy Piper, for heaven's sakes. And you know what you're listening to? You're listening to Wild Talk. That's why they're trying to cage me.
This is Hotshot Johnny Devine.
Malcolm LaSalle, Jimmy Hart.
This is Jerry Lynn.
Hey, you got Terry Funk here.
Hello, this is Mick Foley, and you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
The evolution of online sports entertainment steps back into the squared circle to present to you Wrestle Talk Radio.
Let the main event begin!
Join us as we cover everything from old school to new school in the WWE.
This is Matt Hardy.
This is Natty Neidhart.
This is Stampede Kid TJ Wilson.
This is Harry Smith.
TNA.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam.
I'm Mojo.
Hi, this is Chris Tiani, TNA Knockout.
This is the phenomenal one, AJ Sound.
And ABC. It's still real to me, damn it! With your host.
Are there any assholes in the building?
Tim Stein.
The head asshole in charge.
Spud.
That boy is an asshole.
Mace.
Walter the Raven. Eat my shorts.
Will.
Hey, yo.
And the Omega.
Of the whole fucking show.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
It's okay to play with yourself as long as you have an action figure.
Yeah, baby.
Fuck, have to our theme music. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I don't understand WWE theme writers sometimes. Everyone, and as always, this is the Omega, the be-all, end-all of the WTR Network, leading the way once again. And we have a few more people here with me that actually know how to pick damn theme music every now and then. We have Mace.
Yeah, that's not even written by WWE, that's Ride of the Valkyries, which I believe is some sort of classical piece, but then again, what the fuck were they thinking?
They're trying to fill the niche that Ric Flair kind of left. We also have Spug.
Dude, I go with Slayer, personally.
Here
comes the pain by Slayer, you can't go wrong.
Blood for the Blood God.
And with us, as always, the man that was there when Ride of the Valkyries was written, Tim Stein.
I'm not dead, old goddammit, young whippersnapper.
Speaking of Methuselah here,
hey, bitch.
Somebody has a birthday coming up next weekend.
Really? I don't know who you might be referring to.
I would, Mr. Timmy Stein, born on October 3rd.
I don't know where you got your misinformation, but no, that's not true.
Oh, but Facebook doesn't lie, sir.
Well, it does if you don't put it. It does if you don't put in the right information.
See, so quit trying to duck out of it, because we're still going to rail you for your birthday.
Well, you can try, but it won't work. You will lose.
I really don't think so.
You will lose. It's kind of hard to capture that Dolph Lundgren voice as Ivan Drago. You know, you will lose. You know, good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night. That's right, Wrestle Talk Radio is now on the air. Tell your mother, tell your father, tell your brother, tell your sister, tell your sons and daughters to tune in, because we're going to kick things right off. Talking about Paul Bearer. Hey, look at this. The dead man brings back someone he killed. For those of you who missed it, Kane, during the end of SmackDown Friday night, cut cutting a nice little promo. Out come the druids with this red casket. And then you see the casket lid kind of move a little bit. And Kane looks at it, and he's figuring, okay, well, Undertaker's in there. He's going to try to pull the same old bullshit. Now, the lid flies open, and there he is, Percy Pringle, a.k.a. Paul Bearer, with the mystical magical urn. Boom. Light flicker. Right behind Kane stands the dead man. Omega, did you catch this?
Yes, I caught this.
Did you smile when you saw Percy Pringle? When you saw Paul Bearer?
Did you, Chris? I always smile when I see Paul Bearer. I mean, I've said it on the show before. I miss characterful people in the WWE like that.
Yeah.
It's just so lacking these days. I love to see someone back that's that much of a live-action cartoon character again. And, you know, I love the magical world of the WWE where, you know, you could bury a guy in a few tons of concrete and get, water under the bridge. Come here.
Yeah, what the hell? You know, we can make money with you again. There you go. I personally can't wait till they explain his resurrection and how he got chipped out of all that concrete and stuff like that, Mace.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's looking pretty spry for somebody who last we saw him was encased in a big block of concrete.
Uh-huh.
But then again, either he's got the strongest teeth in the world or a wizard did it.
Well, I don't know about you, but he does look a little bit thinner than he used to look, doesn't he?
He did. Actually, when he left the WWE, what was it, Great American Bash 2005?
Something like that.
He was encased in concrete. When he left, a few months later, he actually, like, dropped half of who he was.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, he's definitely a lot thinner than he used to be. Because concrete is nutritious.
That's what happens when the people with the chisels aren't watching what they're doing.
There you go. Yeah, so Paul Bearer coming back, basically having dropped the equivalent of a full person. Spug, did you catch this?
Yes, I did.
And what is your opinion of the fact that they brought back Paul Bearer, keeping in mind that it was either you or Alan last week who brought him up?
I believe it was me. I'll take credit for it.
Yeah, it was Alan. We'll pretend it was you because he's not here, so fuck him.
I don't know who brought it up, to be honest with you. I'm glad they brought him back. The one thing I will say though is that he does look a lot better, thinner, and I'm glad he's actually alive to be around for this.
Mm-hmm.
And can we get the purple and black Undertaker?
That'd be good, wouldn't it? Go back to purple and black.
Yeah, it just real quick. Does your abacus count that high when you celebrate your birthday next week?
So anyway, WTR is going to take credit for WWE bringing back Paul Bearer because we did bring it up. You notice how I just really smoothly ignored everything Spug just said. I don't think it's worthy of any kind of remark at all. So, yeah, we're going to be the first internet website that does a webcast to claim that WWE listens to us and did exactly what we said they should do by figuring out a way to resurrect Paul Bearer. Now, let's face it, everybody and their dog will be champing at the bit to say, oh, WWE must listen to us because look what they did, what we said they should do. Yeah, whatever. All right. Yeah, it's coincidence, but it's a happy coincidence. Now, the thing that I'm waiting for is to find out how the hell they're going to explain his return. I mean,
they don't.
The wizard did it.
Dude, they don't have to. They don't have to. Because how many times has The Undertaker died and gone away and come back and they never explain it? Well, because it's Paul Bearer and The Undertaker, it gives creative carte blanche to do almost whatever the fuck they want and never have to explain it.
Yeah, but wait a second, Spug. Practically every time they kill off, you know, quote-unquote kill off Undertaker, they do some kind of little stage show at the end of it where, oh, hey, wait a minute, the powers of darkness are at work now, and they're going to reanimate him somehow. They didn't do that when they entombed Paul Bearer in the concrete.
If you remember, though, when they entombed Paul Bearer in the concrete, and Undertaker pulled the switch, he said something to the effect of, do what you have to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, going back to that storyline, it was all basically, you know, like the long and the short of it was he was accused by somebody of not having powers of his own without Paul Bearer or something like that, wasn't it?
It had to do with Paul Heyman.
Uh-huh. And if I remember correctly, Paul Heyman was the writer of that part of the pay-per-view. It was his idea and his decision to kill off Paul Bearer. Ultimately.
Killing people, putting people off on crosses. Yeah, that sounds like Paul Heyman.
Hey, it wasn't Paul Heyman's idea to put Raven up on the cross, or Sandman up on the cross.
I know, it was Raven's.
And a wonderful idea that was.
Absolutely. It was a fantastic storyline. A great idea.
Yeah, so wonderful. WWE ripped it off and did it with Taker a few times.
They did.
A few dozen times, if I remember correctly.
I don't think he crucified like.
I just had a quick thought.
Uh oh.
We know who's behind Paul Bearer's direction. It was Vince McMahon to do it against Steve Austin. Oh wait, they've already done that.
It was me, Austin.
It was me all along.
Yeah. No, point being brought up in the. In the production chat here that the concrete angle is nowhere to be found on the Paul Bearer bio in WWE. Do you smell a revisionist history coming along?
They're allowed to do it.
Why not?
From the WWE? No, never.
Yeah. Wasn't the world title vacant at least once after a pay-per-view, guys? Benoit.
Oh, yeah. I mean, who remembers that great moment where Eddie Guerrero hugged the air at WrestleMania? Yeah.
He hugged the confetti falling down from the rafters.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So as far as the storyline goes between Kane and Taker, we talked about it leading up to the pay-per-view. We talked about it after the pay-per-view. We decided, I do believe collectively, that it was kind of tired. And, yeah, sure, it just doesn't hold the same thing. It did. But then, with the return of Paul Bearer, you know, well, hey, wait a minute. Maybe they're going to go someplace with this, and we'll find out, like, next week in Hell in a Cell. Are they handling the storyline properly? What do you think, guys?
I think they're handling it as well as you probably could, considering how many times they've rehashed Kane and The Undertaker.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know. The only part I kind of get a little iffy about is when, you know, Taker gets rid of Bearer, you know, I'm stronger without you type thing going on. And now all of a sudden, no, we're backpedaling. He's stronger with Paul Bearer keeping an urn at ringside.
Yeah. Well,
so,
that's because Kane took his powers away. Have you not been watching SmackDown?
No. That's besides
SmackDown,
the point.
Nobody watches.
I just want to know what J.R.R. Tolkien book they tried to pull all this shit out of. I'm going to take your powers away. You have no more powers. I have them all. Ew.
I don't know. It just might wind up being a revisionist rewrite, reboot of The Wizard of Oz, believe it or not. You know, like, at the end of the whole thing, I can see Paul Bearer saying, "Oh, Undertaker, you had it all along." You know, just like The Wizard told Dorothy the Tin Man and the Scarecrow that they all had brains, a heart, and courage, and all this other stuff all along. It just had to be brought out.
Then they're matching Hell in the Cells in black and white.
Does this mean that we're going to get Kevin Nash back as Oz?
I hope not.
Probably not.
I just really hope there's blood at that match in Hell in the Cell. And that's not trying to say I want a bloodbath, but for Christ's sakes.
It's WWE PG, you know, so it's
the
case
first
of
Hell in a Cell stop for blood loss.
Yeah. You can watch the Hell in the Cell pay-per-view and not worry that you're going to go to hell because it's TVPG, you know?
Yeah, we got to wait 5 minutes for them to haul the cell up so someone can run in there, pat down the blood, run out, and then put the cell back down.
So, yeah, there you go. So long as Katie Vick doesn't make any kind of a reappearance, then I can live with the Paul Bearer returning angle.
Well, Taker can bring people back from the dead to fuck with Kane.
Hey. I'm glad you said with.
Yeah, very important word usage there.
Sick motherfucker. Anyway, how would you guys, you know, like you got each of you, take a shot at this one at a time, start with Omega. How'd you handle the direction of the Undertaker character from this point on with the return of Paul Bearer, starting with next Friday night SmackDown leading into Hell in the Cell and beyond? Omega, go.
This is difficult. Like, there's only one direction they can go in. Undertaker has to win at Hell in the Cell. You put the title back on Taker, but I don't see where you go from there. I mean, yeah, if Paul Bearer is back, that's the one thing. It depends. Personally, I'd like Paul Bearer to stick around, but then what the hell do you do with Undertaker there? Though, with Bearer, you could increase his presence. You know, Undertaker notorious for, you know, taking a leave of absence, you know, whenever he pretty much feels like it, and he can do that because he's the fucking Undertaker. But if you got Paul Bearer going around, cutting promos for him, basically acting like his, oh, I don't know, what's the word? They used to have this thing, this manager, I think they used to call it.
Generally a mangler. Exactly right.
You could actually, I mean, whoever he feuds with next, whoever who faces for the world title, you can keep the Undertaker something special. You could keep him as an attraction, but you can still give him presence. You can still make him an integral part of the story with Paul Bearer doing the work.
Mm-hmm.
That would work. I mean, I don't know who you'd book it with, because SmackDown's completely fucking depleted right now.
Yeah.
But I'm really hoping they stick with Bearer for a little while.
That would be good. Mace, what would you do?
See, what I would like to do, they won't do. I want to see The Undertaker go back to the ministry days, the darker side of his character, which was awesome back in those days. But I know for a fact they won't go to it because they are PG now. So,
yeah,
making a character dark and scary might, you know, offend the 2-year-olds that they have sitting in the seats.
Yeah, back when the days when the Dark Side Taker would come out and the 12-year-old kids in the audience would start crying their eyes out because they were so scared.
Yeah, exactly. But those times made The Undertaker look, like, powerful. They made him look like he could do anything, defeat anybody, because, you know, he was fully embracing his dark past and all that. You know, it's this little thing called character development that doesn't seem to work too well these days.
Yeah.
You know, so I'd like to see them develop the character, make him have to go to that dark part of himself once again in order to beat Kane. And then you could lead that into, like, let's face it, they're going to go with Undertaker and Kane team up number 4067.
Yeah.
So, you know, why not turn the Undertaker heel? And then at that time, you know, if he's got the belt, so be it. You know, as for Hell in a Cell, I'd do what Omega said, you know, put the belt back on Taker, but getting it off him is going to be a pain in the butt because they'd have to do it before WrestleMania.
Uh-huh. What about you, Spug?
You don't have to turn Undertaker heel to get that character development. No, you don't have to. You make Undertaker go silent, like he was back in the old days. You let Paul Bearer do the talking, and you put Undertaker back in the purple and black, or the purple and gray, or the gray and black. You bring him old school. Purchase a hearse, because we God knows Vince has the money. He probably has one sitting in a storage cellar somewhere.
I think he owns like 3 or 4 of them.
Right.
They're on standby just in case, you know what I mean?
Right. you go back to the old hearse entrance. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
You let him fully embrace the Undertaker gimmick once again as far as being an Undertaker. You can get the character development that Mace wants out of that. As far as Hell in a Cell is concerned, quite honestly, I'd have it go to a no finish.
Okay, yeah.
I'd have it go to a no finish. And I'm not sure exactly how you could do that in a Hell in a Cell, because I don't know if you go double pin or what.
They'd have to knock each other out practically. Hell in a Cell match, there's always one winner.
Right, but there's no DQ. There's no DQ, no count out. So I'm thinking you could go double pin. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Both sets of shoulders down. I'm almost positive. I'm sure you could go double pin. So you have it end in a no finish.
No.
And then at Survivor Series, you go real old school and pull out the Buried Alive match.
Mm. Well, all interesting ideas. But let me ask you something, Omega. Who was it that introduced Kane as character in WWF at the time?
Oh, jeez. This is completely escaping me right now, and it shouldn't.
It's okay. Paul Bearer.
It really shouldn't. Yeah.
It really shouldn't escape you because it happened to be Paul Bearer.
Yeah, well, the way you phrase it made me second guess.
Oh, okay, okay. So, Paul Bearer, he's the mascot for Undertaker. Then he brings out Kane. He's the mascot for Kane. Yeah, I'm saying mascot, not manager. Okay. Undertaker entombs Paul Bearer in concrete. Out of nowhere, out of the blue completely, last Friday night, Paul Bearer shows up on SmackDown programming.
Well, keep in mind the backstage segment, too. Paul Bearer is the one who approaches The Undertaker. So apparently he's the one that's going, I don't know if it's okay, my son has to be stopped, and I'm shocked that one of the announcers actually remembered that, because they actually mentioned Father of Destruction on air.
Mm-hmm.
You know, considering, you know, Edge and Christian aren't brothers anymore, you know, I couldn't keep track, you know, at this point. So I'm actually interested storyline-wise. You know, if they even bother to explain why Bearer was the one who approached Taker after Taker, you know, tried to kill him.
Uh-huh. Well, what kind of a twist do you think it might be if at next Friday's SmackDown taping, Paul Bearer swerves Undertaker and sides with his, you know, his son, Kane? And, okay, Kane retains the title at Hell in the Cell. The story outline, the angle, not over, still going. Taker's trying to figure out how to beat the now even stronger Kane with Paul Bearer backing him up. Somehow he winds up with the urn. The payoff is Taker has the urn in his corner, and that's where the power comes from, is the urn, and not Paul Bearer holding the urn. And so Taker with the urn finally defeats Kane. With Paul Bearer in his corner.
I don't know. The way the storyline is setting up right now, I really don't think... You'd need a lot more time to build something like that. Like, I'd almost want... You know, if there was going to be a swerve, I'd want it to happen at Hell in a Cell. You know, and okay. I'd want to spend a month stretching the storyline and having Taker overcome not only his brother, who's suddenly stronger than him, but also Bearer in his corner.
You know, so you want that? You would prefer that entire storyline to play out in one night, then?
No, I'd want a piece of it to play out in one night.
Okay.
You know, the way that scenario goes, Kane wins at Hell in a Cell, and we pull this feud another month. You give Taker time enough to overcome all of this and make him that, you know, and actually make it look like he's regaining his powers rather than, oh, hey, pretty Earn, I'm going to fight harder.
Well, now, you take into account that with what my proposal was, would take place over a couple of months. You'd be stretching it out until, like, November or even December.
Right.
Okay. Now, you could have the swerve on this Friday Night SmackDown, or not until Hell in a Cell. However, the fact of the matter is, there is a swerve. This is, you know, my speculation. What do you think, Mace?
I have no idea. I really don't know.
Brilliant.
Yeah, I'm great for this shit right now.
Okay.
I must be hungry.
It's, what, around noon for you, isn't it? Monday afternoon?
Yeah.
And we don't have the pay-per-view for you to take off into the kitchen to make your sandwich. So what about you, Spug? What do you think about that proposed storyline twist?
I think you've confused the fuck out of me, and it's, you know, you have to use the KISS method. Keep it simple, stupid.
Oh, confusing the fuck out of you is easy. But anyway, what I'm talking about,
no,
Paul
Tim,
Bearer has shown
Tim,
up.
Tim, that's my polite way of saying that your storyline sucks. That's my polite way of saying you've overthought it, you fucking retard.
Well, now, how many times have we said that about WWE creatives, bud? Come on.
There's no reason to overthink this. No reason whatsoever to overthink it. You don't bring out Paul Bearer and give him the Earn and have him threaten Kane in a manner that he did on Friday night. I mean, I really see the clip. All I saw was kind of a review and still shots. You know, you don't have him go through all of that if you're going to swerve. Because if you're going to swerve, you do little things, not big things like that. If you're going to swerve Paul Bearer showing up with Kane, then you do it at Hell in a Cell.
Okay.
I mean, you bring Paul Bearer out at Hell in a Cell.
Uh-huh. I see. I understand what you're talking about. Yeah, you know, like doing it that way would make sense naturally. But so many times we have talked about WWE and how their booking ultimately gets a little convoluted. You can't blame somebody. And, you know, I'm not the only one to come up with this idea. It's not unique to me. All right? You can't blame a person, wrestling fan or smart mark, whatever you want to call them, for coming up with some, you know, some similar convoluted storylines that are rather soap opera-ish. Especially when they, you know, go to Hollywood to find the writers. If this were to actually happen, I wouldn't be surprised.
I don't even think WWE is that convoluted or stupid to really overthink one of the most popular managers ever.
I don't. You know, they, like I said, they've done shit like this before. They've actually done something that, they've done things that were smart, and they've caught all of us on the internet with, oh, holy shit, they did the right thing. They've also done shit that leaves us scratching our collective heads. It's like, what the fuck were they thinking?
So did WCW, so did TNA, and so was ROH for that matter. There's a lot of places that have done great things, mediocre things, and dumb things. The thing with this particular angle and the way this is going is this has been an almost 13-long feud. And when you are dealing with main characters such as Paul Bearer, who flip-flop back and forth almost all the time between the two sides, you don't have to go extreme into detail and extreme in your planning. It's just there's no need for it. It's not necessary. And I think even the dumbest of WWE writers will know that.
Well, you know, on one hand, it's easy to give them, you know, that amount of credit. On the other hand, it's easy to figure that you're giving them too much credit. All right? And it's a case of it's kind of hard to say one way or the other. All I figure we should all do concerning this is just, you know, sit back and let things unfold as they may. Watch Friday Night SmackDown. This Friday night's live, isn't it?
For the debut on Sci-Fi?
For the Sci-Fi debut. It's on, they're actually going live. No spoilers this week.
Ooh, there's where you should have brought Paul Bearer back. Get the most shock value out of it.
Yeah, I mean, how many people were on the internet the next day probably talking about Paul Bearer at the tapings? I did everything I could, everything I always do to make sure that I avoid spoiler postings all over the internet. I simply can't, well, everybody knows my thoughts and feelings on spoilers. I freaking can't stand it.
But mind you, with that being said, we definitely got to give props to Paul Bearer. In the two times he's come back in the last 10 years, yeah, we didn't know about it beforehand. He is the master of keeping himself out of internet news and keeping himself hidden right down to the last second.
Uh-huh, yeah, no, he's pretty good at it. I guess that it was a bit of a storyline in and of itself for him to be, to show up for last week's tapings. I think he posted on his website or something like that, so. But yeah, Rock brings up an interesting point. Paul Bearer's back, and they're moving to Sci-Fi.
Ooh. By the way, Tim, here's a spoiler for you. During the break, I will be taking a piss.
We'll alert the media, Spug.
Damn it, now I don't have to stick through the commercial.
No, you don't have to sit through the commercial to find out, so. That being said, everybody listening to WTR Sunday night, we got more coming up. We're going to talk a little John Cena, TNA news and notes. And, of course, we will be bringing up roundtable discussion. We'll be getting into the great debate, yet another great debate. And, of course, Quick Hits right here on Wrestle Talk Radio, WTR Sunday night, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back right after this time out.
In case you missed it, this is what happens when you tune in to Online World of Wrestling Radio.
This is Carino is on Online World of Wrestling Radio?
She sure is.
Oh my god, this is awesome! So Mom, you got any questions for your son that you want to air some funny stories about him?
Oh, there's so many stories I can tell you that it would take hours.
Are they going to make steam time? I don't want to.
I have a question for Mrs. Carino.
Okay.
I have a picture of me when I was about 4 years old in a pair of yellow rain boots, yellow underwear, and a bandana doing the Hulk pose. Is it a photo album somewhere? Do you have any embarrassing photos of Steve that you could tell us about?
No. Well, it's not so much embarrassing. But there was a contest one time.
Liar.
And it seems that him and his buddy dressed up like the Rock and Roll Express. Well, they didn't win the contest, but years later, I ran into Ricky Moore. He was going to be at this show, so I took the picture with me. He just about died.
Sorry. By the way.
Remember to tune in to Online World of Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern Tuesdays on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey everyone, this is Sir Rocket, the host of CB Radio, which you can catch every Saturday night.
Whoa, wait, Rock?
Yes, Cindy?
Did you just call yourself the host of CB Radio?
I kinda did just call me the host of CB Radio.
Honey, everyone knows that you were just the producer.
Hey, I'm not just the producer. I am the host of this.
Oh my god, shut up. Everyone knows that I am the host of CB Radio, which you can check out Saturday nights, midnight-ish, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Now, Rock.
Yes, darling.
This is where you tell everyone, I'll see you Saturday.
I'll see you Saturday.
Good boy.
Greetings, my fellow geeks. This is Mace of Otaku Talk Live, and I have come out here today to address you as one of you. What I have done is I have created a download-only podcast for those of us who want to sit there and talk about comics, for those of us who want to sit there and just talk video games, and for those of us who just want to sit there and bash the living crap out of movies. What is this called? It's called Bashing the Books. Who are you going to hear on it? Me! You get to hear me go on and on about comic books, movies, and games. So, think of it as a mini OTL, but with more Australians. So, that's Bashing the Books, available hopefully every Wednesday or Thursday, right here on WildTalkRadio.com. I now return you to your regularly scheduled programming. Are the same the bird crosses.
Hi, everybody. This is good old JR Jim Ross, WWE Hall of Famer.
Business is about to pick up here.
And you're tuned in to the Wild Talk Radio Network.
It's going to be a slumber knocker.
Welcome back, WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Kind of fitting that that music in the background is playing, because we're going to be talking now about John Cena against the Nexus. I think this is round 95, Mace.
Yeah, something along the lines of that. Can we end it now, please?
Well, there's one of the questions. Is WWE going to do the predictable thing, have John Cena play Superman in the last 5 minutes of the match and wind up beating Wade Barrett to finally put an end to Nexus?
We can only hope. Honestly, we can only hope at this stage.
Okay. What do you think, Omega?
I think this is about as obvious as it gets.
Yeah.
And this is, you know, like on the same level of, you know, well, okay, if I win, I'm the champion, well, you know, but if the champion wins, no, you have to leave. Get out. Out of the WWE. But you haven't heard anything about the contract being up or taking time off for an injury, you know. So, you know, there's just some stipulations I really don't think you need to put on a match, because it just, it makes it so obvious.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and, you know, John Cena joining the Nexus, that's one of them. Okay,
yeah.
There's nothing. There's no way something like that would be happening. To be honest, I think it's a mistake to break up the Nexus, considering they've been a pretty big influential force in WWE right now. And, you know, God bless WWE for doing something that can actually beat Cena every now and then, You know, it's seven guys ganging up on him, but still, anything to keep him down for 3 seconds.
Okay. Spug, are you back yet?
I've been back.
Maybe it
dude.
Was so... Oh.
He took long enough to answer me, so you were thinking that he wasn't back yet either, eh?
Been back.
Yeah, I figured he fell in.
Well, Spug, what's your opinion on this whole John Cena versus Naxxus?
I think he's going to lose.
You do? Ooh. What's your rationale for this?
I honestly think it's the WWE wants to keep this Naxxus thing going. As
yeah.
much as the fans hate it, WWE wants to keep it going because it is selling merchandise.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think that WWE is starting to see the end of the gravy train, perhaps with John Cena as the uber babyface. Remember, even Hulk Hogan was made to look human at points.
Once in a while, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think this is one of John Cena's human moments. So, what to me seems to be the obvious and only conclusion is to have him lose to Naxxus and be forced to join Naxxus, and dare I say it, have him go heel again.
Well, wouldn't that be interesting, eh? The reluctant heel.
Uh huh.
Okay. What would you make out of somehow it's a non-finish, one way or the other, Mace?
If it was a non-finish, then that means they get to drag it out another month at least. I do like Spug's idea of like getting him to join Naxxus and eventually turn heel, but it's the fact that we're going to see a few weeks of John Cena struggling to keep being the face and, you know, keep being the guy who defies Naxxus and everything, which is just going to make me go, look, what's on the other channel?
Mm-hmm.
See, I disagree. I entirely disagree.
Of course you do.
No, listen to me. Listen. A couple of weeks of John Cena actually having character development and having to, you know, you could see the character in turmoil of having to be a part of this when he's been such a big babyface for the last God knows how many years. And see, you see that slow cracking and that slow turn back into being a heel. Pulls out the old chain. You catch him in a rap every once in a while. You know what I mean? It's not a quick progression. To me, as a wrestling fan, isn't that what wrestling's all about? The psychology, the character development, the gimmick, the storytelling. That's what it's all about. And so for me, even though everybody around here wants to bag John Cena, including myself,
yeah,
for his Superman-like rise to the top, and then, you know, his almost Hogan-like babyface persona, to me, it would be an excellent change of pace for John Cena, and it would be something it would be something that, quite honestly, would be a real breath of fresh air.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The only way I could almost, like, this is off the top of my type deal, since Rock brought up the fact that we have bragging rights up next. What about, okay, Cena does the struggling against Naxxus thing, but slowly you sort of see him sort of twist a little bit. At bragging rights, he comes out as the guy who brought the Naxxus guys to Raw originally. He was the mastermind behind it all, and this was his way of going F you to the fans. Paying everybody for subs.
Now, you see, something like that would make for an interesting storyline. Here's the thing. I don't think that it's going to be the match that they're going to have next Sunday. I don't think there's going to be a clear-cut winner. I don't think it's going to be a finish. And one of the reasons for that is, unfortunately, a spoiler. I came across information about WWE Raw October the 18th here in Calgary live, and naturally Bret Hart is going to be involved. Bret Hart is supposed to be teaming up with John Cena and I think it was Randy Orton to take on members of the Nexus.
Here, Tim, how about this? Because remember, the Nexus has to disband. And if Barrett loses, and even if there's a no finish or a double pin, they will somehow try to turn that into Wade Barrett loss, so they have to disband the Nexus, or at least, you know, fans will see it that way.
Uh-huh.
What if, just hear me out, Cena loses, has to join the Nexus, and then at the 18th in Calgary, this whole tag match of Orton and Hart versus members of the Nexus is their way to trying to get John Cena back on the good side.
Again,
remember that slow turn, that slow progression.
Yeah. Again, you know, that's another potentially interesting aspect to this angle. And now, as we all know, Omega, card subject to change.
Right. In a way, there used to be a rumor out there that they were trying to put some driving force behind the Nexus, like someone who masterminded the whole thing, and Cena's name actually came up during that discussion.
Yeah.
Which kind of plays into this being a heel turn of some sorts for Cena. I actually think it'd be more interesting right now if they made Cena lose so intentionally, like, you know, like, well, hell, he could have gotten up from that. He's kicked out of worse, that kind of thing. That way he joins the Nexus intentionally and starts dismantling the group from the inside out.
Mm-hmm.
Which would work a little bit better, because if you have Cena in the Nexus, naturally he's going to perform better than Barrett. If it's one of those big 6-on-6 matches, you know, and Cena eliminates like the last two or three guys on his own, which it's Cena, so he can.
Yeah.
You know, now Barrett looks like a chump, and now you've got Nexus feuding with themselves over who should really be in charge here. That to me, especially leading into bragging rights of all pay-per-views, be a much better angle to work than, oh, hey, Nexus is breaking up.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that could definitely work really well. I think there's a possibility that WWE is playing the role of Penn and Teller with a little bit of sleight of hand. We are not talking about a certain individual who's been out for several months now, who has just had an office built for him in Titan Towers, and is going to become more heavily involved in the day-to-day workings and machinations of the WWE, specifically Raw. And we know already, or at least we've heard the rumor already, he wants another run as a heel. What a better way to come back as a heel than being this mystery mastermind, try saying that three times fast, behind Nexus than Triple H.
I'm still waiting for him to come out as the Raw GM.
So, yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
I want to know who the Raw GM is going to be, because there's things that are happening in the next week or two that, well, let's just say that,
I think they're starting to get ready to draw the curtain on the Wizard of Oz here. Because you've got Edge going on a tirade now over this.
Well, and they know the IP, Rock.
They know the IP. Yeah, that was Jericho. I know the IP address to your computer. Well, fine. That really doesn't help you find the IP address to the mystery emailer, you dumbass.
Oh, here's, all right, real quick, going back to Cena. I love how everybody is trying to pan it and bag on it, like, oh my god, no, they Cena can't be heel. He doesn't have that kind of range. That look, I've bagged on Cena for quite a while. I have been a Cena hater for a very long time, and I also have appreciated what the man has done back in the day.
Uh-huh.
I will say this. It wouldn't surprise me at all if they turned him heel. It wouldn't. Because if this is all about marketing and this is all about merchandise, which we have proven time and time again that it has.
Uh-huh.
When did everybody start buying the Rock's t-shirts and saying his catchphrases?
After he came out with the Die Rocky Die thing.
Right after that promo, you saw Rock t-shirts everywhere.
Flying off the shelves.
If Cena came out and cut an old Thugonomics promo with the chain and all that, I guarantee you the John Cena merch would be sold out the next day.
Well, stop and think about it. You know, Cena's been Superman for so frickin' long, super face of the WWE for so long, people forget how good he was as the heel.
Mm-hmm.
Right, Mace?
Correct. Some of his best work was during his heel days.
Yeah.
Well,
and,
at least his promos, anyway.
Well, yeah, that was back when he was allowed to cut his own rap promos before they were actually being written for him, and he decided, no, if I can't freestyle, I'm not going to read what somebody else is writing. And he was right. I mean, you can actually see when creative started writing it for him, which is pretty much right before he became, you know, the face of the company.
Yeah, that was when you had guys like Christian and Big Show beating him in rap battles.
Yeah. So, but yeah, you know, it'd be interesting to see Cena as heel again. But the problem with that, again, goes back to Triple H, you know, the favored son. He may not be the franchise anymore. He may no longer be the title holder that, you know, again, is subject to change, just like everything in professional wrestling is. But being, you know, and I'm not bringing, I don't mean to bring up nepotism to slight Paul Levesque or anything like that. But the fact of the matter is, when Vince finally decides that he's going to, you know, ride off into the sunset and enjoy the simple life while Linda does her, you know, political bullshit, it's going to be Triple H and Stephanie taking over the company. Shane's out of the picture, long gone. It's de facto Stephanie's company, which makes
Trips
it de
facto, has already got the corner office.
Exactly, which makes it, you know, de facto half Triple H's company, just, you know, because of marriage. And you know that they're going to keep things pretty much status quo. Stephanie's going to be taking care of SmackDown in between kids, and Triple H will be taking care of Raw in between nose jobs.
Yeah, that joke fell flat, Tim.
Yeah, it did. Still, the point is still there, right? Triple H is still a favored son in the WWE, and whether or not Cena goes heel is going to depend entirely on basically the next 2 years, as I figure that Triple H, well, he's going to wrestle for 2 more years when he comes back, before he moves into his office position full time. Omega?
I don't know. At this point, I'll be honest, I haven't missed Triple H.
Well?
I don't know. I mean, yes, it's become the Cena show on Raw, but at the same time, you know, I haven't really noticed, honestly.
Yeah.
So, okay, goody, one more heel run, take over the office, and, you know, his daughter will be world champion in 18 years. I'm sure of
it. Sure, why not? I can see it happening. So, but stop and think about the McMahon-Helmsley era, Mace. Triple H was the biggest heel going. Everybody hated his guts, yet he was on the very top. He was number one in the company, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, at that time.
You know, why can't they do that with Cena and the Nexus?
Because Cena hasn't got a McMahon on his arm?
There's a point.
Seriously, I wouldn't have a clue at this point. I'm seeing this, if they do turn Cena heel, like either between sort of now and bragging rights, you could almost put along the same lines as the Hulk Hogan heel turn in 96.
Uh-huh.
A guy who's been a popular heel for so long, a popular face for so long, turns heel, sells a shitload of merchandise.
Yeah.
That could be the launch of something decent.
Quite possibly.
You know, we can sit here all day and go, yeah, they should do this, they could do that, they could do this, that, and the other. But until they actually do it, we don't know what the fuck they're going to do.
Yeah, that's just true.
So,
Well, you know, since we brought up his man crush, we should get Spug's final thoughts on it. The entire situation, Spug.
Love how you saved me for last. You know, I really don't care what they're going to do with Triple H, to be quite honest, because we all knew eventually he would have a place in the office anyway, whether he was fucking a McMahon or not.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's that damn good. Because he knows the business as well as he does. And as far as the whole him coming back as a heel, he's not gonna come back as a heel to run the Nexus.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, that to me is just a little bit below him. He's a better heel than that, and he's a more cerebral heel than that.
Okay.
And if you're gonna do anything, the perfect individual, the absolute perfect individual to do anything with the Nexus right now is John Cena. As far as running it or being being the mastermind behind it, he's it. He's the one guy they've been warring with the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one guy. He's the one guy that that the majority of their ire has been directed at. And so what better swerve on everybody than to have have it be John Cena?
Well, like May said, it's something that we can't know for sure until WWE actually does it. But hey, you know, black and yellow, does it really look bad on Cena? Take a look at the graphic on the Ustream player that gets put up there from time to time. And decide for yourself. Everybody, you're listening to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Ready right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We got a whole bunch more news and notes. We're going to be taking a little bit of a look at some TNA stuff happening. Talk a little bit about Christian and some other news coming up right on the other side of this quick little timeout. Stick around.
I'm untouchable, but I'm forcing you to feel me. Word life. This is basic thugonomics. Word life. I'm untouchable, but I'm forcing you to feel me. Whether fighting or spitting, my discipline is unforgiving. Got you backing up in a defensive position. An ass-kicking anthem, heavyweight or bantam. Holding camp for ransom, the microphone phantom. Teams hit the floor, it's the new fight joint. Like a broken needle, kid, you missing a point. We dominate your conference with offense that's no nonsense. My theme song hits, get your reinforcements. We strike quick with hard kicks.
Here's a quick message going to all the geeks out there. If you want to listen to three guys talk your language, tune in to Otaku Talk Live, Wednesday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. What? You expect me to be funny? We do that on the show. So tune in. Listen. I demand it.
Hey everyone, this is Sir Rocket,
the producer of Anything Goes, which you can hear every Thursday night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Now, like most guys, and quite frankly girls out there, probably want to know what's going on through the mind of Sydney Sin. Well, here's a little secret. I have the inside scoop with that connected. And, well, I've been secretly taping her dreams for a while now. So, let's hear what goes on.
Eat my pussy. I like big cocks. Fuck me harder. Fuck, I'm vibrating here. Sir Rockin is the greatest producer on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Rock is number one.
Really, Cindy? You really think of me like that? Oh, that's so sweet.
Eat my pussy.
Do you want to know more about her dreams and fantasies and all of her, well, sexual desires? Tune in Thursday nights for Anything Goes, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I'll even be there. Unless she kills me for taping this.
Rock!
Oh crap, she found out. I'm a dead man.
Want to stay involved and updated with the Wild Talk Radio Network? Well, it's simple. Just sign up for the official WTR newsletter. That's right, the WTR newsletter. The only place to keep up to date on the goings-on in the land of WTR. From show previews, interviews with the hosts, and special contests just for those who sign up. Subscribe now to the WTR newsletter. Sign up for the newsletter, or you're gay.
You know, the more things change, the more things stay the same. For as long as the internet wrestling community has been around, there have been people and internet radio shows that will bitch and complain about every little thing they see. Well, the crew over at WrestleTalk Radio are trying to change that by highlighting the positives of each and every WWE and TNA event. These wrestlers put their body on the line to entertain us each and every week. So how about we praise them instead of bitching about the little things that get to us? So with that in mind, you should come listen to WrestleTalk Radio, Sunday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, or right after any WWE or TNA pay-per-view, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Because this is how we say thank you to those that entertain us.
This is Lacey Von Erich. You're listening to The Network, Tim Steinbilt, Wild Talk Radio.
And welcome back, WTR, Sunday Night Rust Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thank you very much for tuning us in tonight. We're most appreciative that you're wasting your Sunday night along with us, looking at the world of professional wrestling. Time now to take a look at some TNA stuff. Omega, I don't know if you've been keeping up with the product, but last Thursday night, Rob Van Dam returned.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, and naturally we have to go to you first concerning this, because after all, it's Rob Van Dam. What do you think about them bringing him back before they crown a new champion?
What the fuck? That's my honest answer right there. That's the whole thing.
What the fuck? Really? Okay.
It makes no fucking sense to me. I mean, first off, okay, you throw out the whole ranking system. You throw out the big storyline of Kurt Angle working his way up to the top, beating the entire tier before going after the championship. You throw all of that out, you put on a match with no winner. And we already discussed, we already went to at length of what a mistake it was.
Yeah.
Then we have on Impact last week where, they're gonna have another match, and of course it's not gonna be able to live up to the pay-per-view match, you know, and by the end of the show, oh hey, three-way. Fine. Why the fuck did you waste an entire episode on that when you could have just said, you could have ended it at the top of the match, at the top of the night last week, and then just had a little bit more, had an entire extra episode to build up for it. You know, or if that was going to be it, you know, announce it at the pay-per-view after they finish the match. You know, send the crowd home with something other than what the fuck was that.
Uh-huh.
And now there's no champion, but the champion is back.
Well,
and they're going to waste him against fucking Abyss.
Yeah, well, with all of the injuries he supposedly sustained at the hands of Abyss, right? Don't you think that in itself should preclude his having come back as early as he did?
No. The way they brought it back, I mean, this thing, no, he's not medically cleared yet, but you know when he's cleared? 10-10-10. Oh, wow. How miraculous and magical. What great timing. fine. I'm happy for you, TNA. You got it. You got one of the easiest dates to remember in the history of the Gregorian calendar. Bravo. Yeah. Don't shove it down my throat that much. Don't make everything revolve around this miraculous number. This is when them is coming in, which means, hey, Rob, we took the championship off of you because we wanted to save a few dates, and now you're going to get raped at the hands of them, because that's the storyline we've been building.
Yeah.
So, okay, we're going to take the belt off of you, even though you're the biggest star we've got in the company right now. We're going to give you a really, really bad opponent for your style of wrestling at our biggest pay-per-view of the year. We're not going to give you a title shot until afterwards because, you know, we have the asshole and the drug head and the other drug head.
Good points.
And it's going to be a waste because they're going to bring in them during Abyss's match, because he's been playing that up.
Yeah, well,
the whole thing is just, like, it's TNA. It's just horrible booking ideas going on here. And it comes off as nobody thinking this shit out.
Yeah. Speaking about thinking shit out, Mace, do you think that maybe they're hot-shotting a little bit with RVD because Hogan can't walk? I guess he's not back yet. Okay, Spug, do you think you could answer that?
Which one?
Hot-shotting the RVD angle right now on in TNA because Hogan can't walk, his back's all buggered up.
What if Rob is one of them? Just throwing that out there.
Omega?
Well, that'd kind of make the match at Bound for Glory a little anticlimactic, don't you think?
Possibly, but still.
I don't know. If you actually have RVD at Bound for Glory, I don't think you waste him by essentially making it a big reveal promo. Or
Really, this is TNA we're talking about here. They wasted their heavyweight champion's appearance dates.
Okay. True.
Logic and booking is not something they're great at.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Rob did do house shows this weekend, but he was doing run-ins. Or was that Hogan who did that?
Hogan can't run and you know it.
Hogan does walk-ins, for crying out loud. You're supposed to pick up on that.
Well, that's why he had to come up with a few more hand signs. Just give him something to do on the way to the ring.
There you go. Maybe he'll bring his little recorder so he could tweet, do a video tweet on the way to the ring. you know, throwing a courtesy flush when he's halfway down the ramp. Just, you know, speculating. What the fuck, right? But, you know, as far as all of that goes, are we all pretty much in agreement they should have waited until after Bound for Glory for RVD's return? Or are they rushing things specifically because of 10-10-10?
I think they're rushing things because they're desperate. I think the only reason they rush is because, oh, hey, don't we have RVD on contract? Don't we have a huge pay-per-view coming up? Oh, duh, let's do that.
Yeah.
Because I believe their buy rates are tanking right now, even for their buy rates.
Uh-huh. Well, are you able to see a little bit of Russo's influence in the current booking, in the current writing?
Little.
Just the tiniest little bit?
The word bit in there amused me.
I thought it would.
There is no such thing as a bit of Russo influence.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, Swax in the chat room, you know, maybe Charlie Haas and Shelton Benjamin. Not a chance. They've got a massive deal currently with Ring of Honor. They're going to be exclusive to ROH for the time being, Swax, just so you know that. So
wait,
you can,
wait.
What?
Swax is in our chat room?
Yeah, he's back.
Boot him out.
No, right. Let him. He's from.
For old time's sake, boot him out.
No, forget it. Nah, for old time's sake. Nah, he hasn't done anything yet. So we'll wait until he does something, then for old time's sake, we'll kick him. Just playing with you, Squats. Just kidding.
No, anyway. No, I'm not.
I know you're not.
Fuck you. Get the fuck
Moving
out.
Moving on. Moving on, here it is, guys, the big reveal for WTRS Talk Radio, Wild Talk Radio Network. There have been dealings and talks like crazy about booking Mickey James for an appearance on Wrestle Talk Radio. And it got to the point where there was dialogue with her agent. And then all of a sudden, nothing. It turns out that Mickey James has reportedly signed with TNA now.
Get Omega. The fuck out of here. Go on.
Yeah, seriously. That's
you talking to the dog.
Oh, talking to the dog. Okay. Well, no, that's the current rumor making this week's internet dirt sheets, Omega.
You see, I can't believe this because, you know, that would mean they actually bring in a quality female wrestler. I thought that was beyond TNA at this point.
It is.
Ooh.
Does she have bigger implants than she did in WWE? Then maybe I believe it.
Yeah, I think they're the same size. But here, you know, here's the thing. If she did sign the contract, is she allowed to use the name Mickey James, or does she have to go back to Alexis Lurie, or will they give her something else?
They could book her the lesbian that stalked Trish Stratus.
But they wouldn't be allowed to say Trish Stratus.
Okay, the W... Oh, no, you can't say that one either. This is curious now.
Kinda hard to figure out, huh?
See, they wouldn't call her... They wouldn't use her actual name anyway, because they... let's change the names to something we can own.
Well, here's the thing. She can use her real name. She owns the rights to her real name. Her country music album is under her own name, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, if this is true and we do see her in TNA, she's going to be using her own name for it. So, but that's the latest rumor about that. Here's something a little bit disheartening for Christian fans. He's reportedly out for 6 months with a torn pec, Omega.
This saddens me. You know, when he's so underused in the WWE, it shocks me that he could actually gain an injury in the first place. But that's... I mean, I think it's pretty much hands down. He is the most neglected and misused talent in the WWE today.
Uh-huh.
He was during his previous WWE run. I can only hope that he gets, you know, that inherent push that comes with a major return after surgery.
Yeah.
I can only hope.
For most people, that will happen, quite possibly because it's Christian, maybe not. Spug, your opinions.
And that's what I say about that.
Wow, that was a lot. Mace, welcome back, by the way.
Thank you, thank you.
And I hope that the phone call went really well for you. Not going to say what it is about unless you want to bring it up, but my fingers are crossed.
Nothing overly major. It seems to be that whenever I'm doing this show the last couple of weeks, people ring me up for phone interviews for work. So, you know, damn them for calling during the middle of the show. But, hey, at least I'm getting interviews out of it.
That's the important thing. At least it's not a doctor calling to tell you the rabbit died.
Nah. But, hey, I get the interview tomorrow, so yay.
Oh, good stuff.
Well spent.
Yeah, there you go. Christian, out for 6 months, torn pectoral muscle, Mace.
Yeah, poor bastard, never gets a break. Oh, wait. He did.
Oh, bad. But good.
So. Bad jokes, it's what we do here.
There you go. Yeah, so, hey, TNA experts, this one's for you. The X Division Championship changes hands twice over weekend house show run-ins. Amazing Red defeated Jay Lethal, then Jay Lethal regained the title on Saturday night. What's up with that?
It's an old ploy that WCW used to use back in their sort of house show days, where they would have usually the U.S. champion would lose the belt at the start of a couple-day house show tour and then get it back by the end. Mm-hmm. It just makes the crowd feel special because they got to see a title change in their town.
And it was for a simple house show where 1,500 people show up and watch.
Exactly.
Yeah. Omega?
Something simple, worth a lot.
There you go. Omega?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of like that. I mean, it's never going to be mentioned, you know, unless it's Raven getting screwed out of the title.
Uh-huh.
But you know what? It adds a little bit to the house shows. I mean, you go see a WWE house show, it's pretty much neutral. I mean, there's not a whole lot's going to happen.
Yeah.
But, you know, if TNA adds that little bit in, you know, you might see a title change.
Yeah, well.
You know, good on them. I mean, yeah. I think it's a little bit of a twist of the formula these days.
Yeah, well, Spud, do you remember as we sometimes call them, the good old days, where television was used to push the house shows instead of the house shows being used to push TV?
Yes, I do. And I wish they would go back to it.
The only problem with that is there's not as much money to be made with advertising revenue and such like that at a house show. But titles used to change hands all the time, not on TV, but at the house shows. So, but it's really no big deal. They'll move the title not once, but twice, and the original title holder winds up at the end of the weekend retaining, pretty much. So,
see, that's kind of the cool thing. If they're running house show circuits in between television tapings, and you see on the internet, oh hey, the title changed hands, and you're going to be at a house show that's upcoming, you know, you might see a title change.
Yeah, this is truth. Absolute truth. So, moving on to the next little news item. WWE Tiffany has been cleared of assault charges that stem from an incident that took place at her Los Angeles hotel with husband Drew McIntyre. Now, quote-unquote, no further legal action is anticipated in this case. And that was stated by a spokesman for the L.A. Attorney's Office. And was spoken to the dailyrecord.co.uk. Omega?
This is still news?
Yeah, apparently. Only because all charges have been basically dropped.
Oh, goody.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, but WWE's chosen one gets beaten up by his girlfriend.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I've lost all sympathy for this case.
I have a hard time accepting Drew McIntyre as credible, never mind the chosen one, just because every time I see him, it looks like some kind of Stretch Armstrong version of Brian Kendrick, Mace.
And that's all I'm going to say about that.
Okay, there you go. So, pretty much that's that's the news in a bit, as it were, except for breaking news yesterday. Tara taken to the ER, removed from a house show. It turns out that she had boo-boo on her elbow.
Oh, no.
That a clinical term?
That's the medical term, yeah. I know it's really hard to wrap your head around something like that, but, you know, look it up in the medical text, like Grey's Anatomy. It's a boo-boo to the elbow.
Wow.
Yeah, so a lot of people out there worried about Tara. Turns out it's no real big deal, comparatively speaking. You're going to say something, Omega?
I was just wondering if it's some like insurance policy TNA has, you know, where it diagnoses something as a boo-boo on the elbow, but I had a stroke. No, just put a Band-Aid on it. You're fine.
Yeah, didn't WCW try to do that with Bret Hart?
Was that before or after the shovel?
Yeah, I think it was during. So, I don't know. Anyway, Mick Foley has tweeted that he's got some kind of huge announcement happening tomorrow. Is he going to announce that he's retiring or that he's writing a new book?
He shaved.
That's the big announcement.
Yeah, that or he bought a new shirt, because either one would shock me.
Interesting. Okay, well, you know, that's pretty much the news for the week that's worth even bothering to look at. Everybody, we got WTR Roundtable coming up, the great debate right after that, and then Quick Hits right here on WrestleTalk Radio WTR Sunday night. You guys want to go into Roundtable right now, or would you like to let the producer know we take a break and then come back with Roundtable? I vote for Roundtable first. Omega?
Yeah, we can do that.
Okay. So that's two, Mace.
Whatever gets us out of here quicker.
Okay, there you go. Spud, you know, it's a formality because we're going to do the round table now, but do you want it to go for a break first or what?
Anything that gets me the fuck out of here quicker and into my bed.
There you go. So, here it is, the WTR round table. Waiting for the intro.
It's time. For tonight, WTR Roundtable.
All right, there it is. Back and forth, WTR Roundtable. It's one question, and we go around the table to get everybody's thoughts and opinions, and then we can argue on it if you want. Chat room, you can play along, too. Go ahead and post in the chat your opinion. Now, we'll start with you, Omega. What, in your opinion, has been the defining moment in the history of SmackDown?
Oh, God. Trying to think here. You know what? For me personally, it's probably Eddie coming out after he won the world title.
Mm-hmm.
You know, opening the show. You know, fireworks, confetti, balloons, you know, huge celebration over it. And somewhere in my head, it just, that's the point where it kind of cemented that SmackDown is a place where someone who really deserves it could get an opportunity. Whereas Raw was always about the big boys and the guys who have been there for 10 years trading the belt between each other.
Yeah. Oh. Okay.
That and just following the career of Eddie Guerrero for as long as I did, it was just an amazing moment to see the how big they were treating it, and deservedly so.
Okay, so Eddie Guerrero coming out after winning the title. Spud, what do you think?
Big, you know, don't really care. I'm going to be the fly in the ointment here and say, don't give a fuck. Never really cared about SmackDown.
Ah, okay. Now, do you not care about SmackDown because it's the B show, it's pre-taped, it's not live?
No, I always had better things to do on Thursday and Friday night, so I never really watched it, so I never really gave a fuck.
Okay, so Spud basically takes a pass on this one. Mace, what about you?
Thinking, I don't know, there's not really much. I'm pretty much with Spud on this.
Uh-huh.
A great debate.
But then again, we could probably go with the opening few moments of the very first episode, because after the fireworks stopped and you had the big kerfuffle between Triple H and The Rock and the Mean Street Posse, and then you had the first great match of Billy Gunn versus Jeff Jarrett.
Yeah.
You knew this was going to be the show that's going to make you look to the other channel.
Well, you know, Rock has brought up a couple of really interesting things that happened. Big Show breaking through the ring. Brock Lesnar breaking...
All right, hold on. I changed my opinion.
Before you go, Tim, don't just start rattling off what's on the fucking DVD. Because that... I own that DVD, and that DVD is bullshit.
Oh, okay. The DVD's bullshit. Your turn, Spud.
I'm going to amend my choice.
You didn't make one.
Exactly.
So he's going to amend his choice. See, choosing not to make a choice, you've still made a choice. You've chosen not to choose. It's still a choice, Omega.
Okay, I choose to ignore you now.
That's a choice. Go ahead, Spud.
I'm going to go with Big Show and Brock breaking the ring.
Yeah, okay.
That's my defining moment. There you go.
Okay. I'm gonna do what you will. Okay. I'm gonna go with what Tony O said. Everything that's happened on SmackDown that could stand out and like define a moment. All the wrestlers on the stage, Vince McMahon come out talking, all the wrestlers who took a turn in front of the mic talking. The first show post 9/11, the taping that took place the next night, the 12th, I do believe. I think it was the next
otherwise known as the number one moment on the DVD set.
Yeah. But no, the one thing that really sticks out to me is JBL, still in his Bradshaw gimmick at the time with the black hair and the armband and the long pants, you know, coming out and just basically tough talking the terrorists. We'll hunt you down and we will kick your ass and all this other shit. Yeah, that's what sticks out. And I can do that because I've never seen the DVD, Mace. So there.
Okay, so you looked up the track listing on Google. Fine.
Actually, no. Tony may have, but I didn't. So, everybody, listen to WTR Sunday Night Rust Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We're going to take our final time out of the night. We're going to come back with Spud's favorite, The Great Debate, and then a couple of quick hits before we get out of here. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back right after this.
Right here and bide my time, as long as it
to look at what's rightfully mine. And I won't be just dying, 'cause all I've got left is my time. And I will rise up. Break it out, break it down, break it loose, break it ground, and I'm dead.
Do you have a certain passion? Maybe you're a geek, a wrestling fan, a sex enthusiast, or you just need something to do for the evening. Then come check out the Wild Talk Radio Network, providing you with the latest in online entertainment. Whether it's getting in the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio, or getting a little R-rated with CB Radio or Anything Goes, or whether you just want to play a game of Dungeons & Dragons with the geeks over to Talk We Talk Live, all you gotta do is head on over to www.wildtalkradio.com and check out all of our daily programming. Wild Talk Radio Network. Come and get wild with us.
Hey Omega, did you hear that OWW Radio has a new host?
A new host? Really?
Well, yes and no. He's the old host, but he's now the new host. So, on behalf of the Wild Talk Radio Network, I would like to introduce the new host of OWW Radio, Alan Wojnarowski.
No, Mace, you have it wrong. It's Alan Wojnarowski.
Are you sure? I thought it was Alan Montonsubi.
The name is Alan Wojcik. How many times do I have to spell it out for you people? As these guys are trying to tell you, I'm the host of Online World of Wrestling Radio, which airs on the Wild Talk Radio Network every Tuesday night, around 9-ish, I guess, Eastern Time, remember, we're on Eastern Time, till basically me and whoever's joining me runs out of stuff to say. It's a brand new era in Online World of Wrestling Radio, where your opinion actually matters.
As the owner of Wild Talk Radio, I'd like to welcome Alan Wojcik. Who the fuck is Internet Davis?
The name is Wojcik.
To the Wild Talk Radio Network. You know my name.
If you run a webcast or have a podcast, audio blog, etc., and you need the occasional liner, sweeper, bumper, or intro, check out VeoLiners.com.
VeoLiners.com is a free service bringing the internet broadcasting community together. Membership is free, and you can log in anytime.
Simply post your script request and let another community member take it from there. It's that easy. Then come back and check your post and download the completed audio.
It's also a great site to add to your portfolio. Gain practical experience by helping your fellow members out and recording their requests.
Remember, it's 100% free to join and use.
VOLiners.com. Voiceovers, liners, sweepers, and bumpers for your broadcasts. Join today.
Professional wrestler R.J. Brewer from Phoenix, Arizona, and more specifically with Lucha Libre USA Masked Warriors. And if you speak English and you understand what I'm saying, you are listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
welcome back to WTR Sunday Night Roast Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We're in the last segment of the show, and I think Spug's been hanging on for this one segment, if for no other reason at all. It is time for the Great Debate.
Very good. What's the topic, old man?
There we go. Well, continuing on with greatest gimmick matches of all time, tonight cage matches take on single stipulation matches, which would include stuff like First Blood, something on a pole, table, ambulance, casket matches, things like that. And then we've got Battle Royals versus Lumberjack matches. We'll start off with Battle Royals versus the Lumberjack, and we'll start with you, Spug.
There's been good Lumberjack matches, but for the be-all, end-all right now, as far as this particular debate is concerned, it's got to be the Battle Royal.
Mm-hmm.
Because think of how many champions have been crowned out of Battle Royals, be it number one contenders or outright.
Yeah.
And some of the legends and moments that have been made out of Battle Royals. Shawn Michaels going wire to wire. Ric Flair winning the title in the Royal Rumble. Yeah. Some of the old the Battle Royals in the NWA and AWA. So I'm going Battle Royals.
There you go. One for the Battle Royal. Mace.
I too am going for the Battle Royal, only because I'm a fan of mass carnage and mayhem that these matches bring along.
The mass carnage and the mayhem. Awesome. Any other reason?
No. That's it.
Just match carnage and mayhem. All right, Omega.
Yeah, I'm going to make it 3-0 here.
Okay.
Lumberjack matches are okay when they actually stick to the whole point of the lumberjack match, which is to either stay in the ring at all times or make sure your opponent gets tossed out as many times as possible.
Yeah.
Way too often it divulges. Way too often it kind of just falls apart into, well, the bad guy got thrown out on the bad guy side, so, you know, they're just going to help him up and help him back into the ring.
Yeah.
You know, it gets way too, I don't know how to put it. It's like these days, if you see a lumberjack match, it's either, okay, heels on one side, faces on another side, and if you get thrown out on the wrong side, then nothing's going to happen to you, and there's going to be absolutely no fucking point. Or yeah, it's going to be one of those where, oh, hey, I'm going to line up all of my friends outside the ring, and it's just going to be, you know, one hopeless scenario for whoever else is in the match.
Yeah.
Battle Royal, awesome match. I mean, in an era when WWE is struggling to find gimmicks that they can book a whole pay-per-view around, that's the only one that has ever worked. And it is a crowning moment. It is, to this day, it is still the biggest way of pushing a new star to the main event level. It's still proof that you are ready.
Yep. Well, there you go. So it's going to wind up being a clean sweep. I got to go with Battle Royals just simply because lumberjack matches, when was the last time you can remember something momentous happening? Spike, you're the one who pointed out all of the big moments in Battle Royals. So it looks like Battle Royals move on to the next round unanimously. Next one, cage matches versus single stipulation matches. Omega.
This one is hard for me. I mean, there's so many things covered in the single stipulation category.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to dice them out a little bit. Like, I'm not a fan of table matches. They're anticlimactic, you know. I'm not a fan of ambulance matches. They're a little too involved and convoluted. Flag on a pole, title on a pole, lead on a pole. I'm not a fan of that.
Okay.
But I like First Blood. I like Casket. I think those are more interesting matches to me.
Oh, shit. I'm sorry. It looks like we got somebody trying to take over the Lita jokes department on you, Omega.
Oh, no. What happened?
Well, you know, you're talking about Lita on a pole matches. Lita likes the pole, though.
Yeah, but the pole doesn't like Lita.
depends on the poll. There were at least two, and practically all of them at the time. So there you go. Okay. Continue. Sorry.
You know what? Even with all those matches in one category, I don't think it stands up to the cage match.
Really?
That's classic. I mean, the cage match, the cage is where feuds are supposed to go to die. That's supposed to be one of the be-all, end-all gimmicks. No getting away from your opponent, no interference, no disqualification. It's you and him, and there is only one survivor. I like that. I like that mindset that cage would puts the match in.
Okay.
You know, whether it's a Hell in a Cell or in, you know what? No, I was going to say Elimination Chamber, but fuck that. I don't like the Elimination Chamber.
Okay.
The cage adds such a different mindset to the match that has, you know, that alone. It's a gimmick that's been going for so freaking long. You know, something, they have to be doing something right.
Yeah. Well, okay, sure. So, cage matches for Omega Mace.
I'm also going to go cage matches on this one. You know, like Omega said, there's so many matches that you got to try and find out if there's a balance, if there's more good matches, more bad matches in that single match category.
Yep.
Whereas the cage match is the cage match. You know, it's always something, not so much these days, and I'm going to tell you now, my decision is based on the older days. I'm talking when the cage was made out of fucking steel, not made out of friggin' fence wire.
Uh-huh.
You know, back in the days where if you hit your head against the damn thing, you were guaranteed to either bleed or be concussed for a week. That's a cage match to me. That's, you know, old school cage match wrestling was the two guys can beat the crap out of each other using the cage. These days, it's a prop. It's not the same cage that means wrestling, like means something in wrestling. But based on the old cage days, I'm going with that because, again, chaos, mayhem, that's what those cage matches were like back then, as opposed to today, which is, oh my god, who can scramble up the quickest? No, you have to cause some fucking damage before you can do that shit.
Okay.
So, give me old school destruction, give me old school beatings. Give me the old school cage made out of real fucking steel.
Okay, so there you go. Provided it's the blue cages made out of real fucking steel, Mace doubles up the steel cage over the single step. Spug!
I would love to pick cages. I would love to pick the cage match, but I can't. I have to pick the single stipulation match.
Okay.
You think about it. This includes the buried alive matches.
Yep.
The ambulance matches. The casket matches. So many matches that have made feuds and individuals famous.
Yeah.
You know, look, we all love a good cage match. A cage match is like that hot girl you keep on your phone that loves to bang every once in a while.
Yeah.
It's an old standby. But when you want something truly unique and truly special, you pull out one of these obscure stipulation matches. Stretcher match.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, you go to the other end of the spectrum, the obscure. Everybody remembers the iconic moment with Mankind versus Undertaker in one of the first buried alive matches. Undertaker's hand shooting up out of the ground after they buried him.
Yep.
You know? So, I mean, I'm not just going on what was bloodier or what caused more chaos and mayhem. You know, I've seen great moments out of cage matches. I've seen great cage matches. You know, Big Show showing up at St. Valentine's Day Massacre and shoving
shoving Austin through the cage. Bobo Brazil versus Bruno Sammartino. It's probably one of the bloodiest cage matches I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Ric Flair versus Harley Race, another great cage match. But if you want to go unique and you want to truly be special, these obscure stipulations like the ambulance match, stretcher matches, buried alive, the, you know, the single stipulation, those to me are it.
Mm-hmm. There you go. So, one for the single stipulation match. Now it comes down to me to decide whether or not we have a tie or if cage matches move forward. You know, cage matches, you gotta love them. They're fantastic. They're great. There's only three ways you could possibly win in a cage match, really. Somebody's ass is getting kicked at the end of it. That's all there is to it. Or at least we're going to be led to believe that somebody's ass is getting kicked. That being said, I gotta go with Spud, tie the goddamn thing up, and pick the single stip matches just because of the vast array, buried alive with, you know, Taker's hand shooting through, just like you said, Spud. Yeah, sure. A couple of the stipulation matches I'm not a huge fan of. I mean, yeah, throw some up on a pole, big fucking deal. Texas bull rope match, that's a stipulation. Yeah, it's got its moments, right? Yeah. Throw in some kind of
Hey, Tim.
Yeah.
The bull rope match fell under the strap match category.
Yeah. Yes, I know. But I'm making a point, right?
Okay.
So, Ric Flair versus Hulk Hogan with Viagra on a pole. There's a match I don't want to see. Right?
Get on top of a pole.
Yeah, there you go. Casket matches, you could go so many different ways with just a casket match. You know, your stretcher matches can be extremely entertaining. I think one of the most enjoyable stretcher matches I've ever seen involved Edge. I can't remember who he was fighting against. Spug, do you? It was a match involving Edge.
Was it in WWE or was it when he wrestled in Canada?
It was in WWE, I think. It was Kane.
It was Kane.
I was thinking either Kane or it was Kurt Angle. I don't know if he did a structure match.
I want to say it was Kane because it was during the whole Kane was going after Lita thing.
Yeah. And it was a very entertaining stretcher match.
One of the most brutal moments I've seen in like a single stipulation match was an ambulance match, and it was Shane McMahon versus Kane.
Yeah.
And they were getting towards the end of the match, and Kane picked up Shane on his shoulder and lawn darted him into the side of the ambulance, like into the door, and you saw him bounce off, and then picked him up again, and then just flung the door open into his head.
Yeah.
Maybe it was brutal.
Yeah. So, you know, just thinking of all of the arrays, anything you could pick with the stipulation match, that in itself, you know, opening up all of the various possibilities. With things like, especially the buried alive casket matches, table matches, not so much. But first blood matches can be, very interesting. You won't see many of those in, WWE anymore, but, TNA, fuck, you know, first blood matches are in the first 30 seconds of most Impact shows. So.
Yeah, but with your single matches though, you know, for every good casket match or something like that, there's got to be the equivalent, you know, the Judy Bagwell on a pole match, San Francisco 49ers box match, you know, coal miner's glove.
That's the thing, though, Mace, is for every four or five that are run-of-the-mill and ordinary, as far as the single stip matches, for me
you're going to get two or three that are just off the fucking hook.
Yeah, and for cage matches, it's you get 10, 12 in a row that are fairly ordinary. You know, nothing. You're not going to get 1998 Hell in a Cell in a cage match anymore. You're not going to get Shawn Michaels versus Undertaker at Hell in at Bad Blood anymore. You're not going to get those types of cage matches anymore because WWE's dumbed it down too much. And unfortunately, you're not going to get Undertaker versus Shane McMahon in an ambulance like match like that anymore. But they just the unique quality of the single stipulation match, for me personally, puts it over the cage match.
Yeah. So we've got a bit of a situation here, Jack. You've got a tie. So we're going to have to find a tiebreaker. Rock?
Who's getting choked with a tie now?
That's a great stipulation match. I would vote for single stipulations for most of the reasons you said, but you're forgetting the one match that's listed, King of the Mountain. The first couple, they were really good. You have.
See, I don't even book that as a single stipulation. You got so much going on in that fucking match.
I thought we put King of the Mountain in ladder matches, Rock.
You have it listed here, King of the Mountain.
All right, well then.
Yeah, because it's reverse ladder match with a shark cage stipulation and five men with qualifications.
Either way, okay, with get rid of the King of the Mountain. You have First Blood with Kane and Stone Cold Steve Austin. That was really good. You have many object on a pole matches. The table match has always been good. And as you guys said, the ambulance match, old school casket matches, Undertaker, Yokozuna, Undertaker, Kane. Didn't they have one?
They did. Dude, I'll go back even further than that. Undertaker versus Kamala.
There you go. I go single stipulation matches.
So there you go. Squeaking by the single stipulation matches. Move ahead right here on the WTR Great Debate.
Hold up a second.
Matches of all
hold
time.
Up a second.
Yeah.
What? The world is going to implode within the next 5 minutes.
Why is that?
You and I agreed twice within a span of 10 minutes.
Wow.
The world is going to implode.
Well, it didn't implode the last time it happened. But I do think that we had some kind of a lunar eclipse or something. I don't know. Everybody make sure that you're wearing your seatbelts because Spug and I agreed on something. There you go. And that's a great debate. We're going to continue it next weekend, of course, with more. Are we into the quarterfinals or the semifinals yet?
It's the second round. We have three rounds of it, so we'll figure it
out. Oh, three rounds. So we're into the third round coming up. All right. That means, and this is your cue, it's time for quick hits.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Russell Talk Radio quick hits.
Wow.
That's right. It's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Russell Talk Radio quick hits.
All right, here it is. You know the drill by now. Two quick questions for each of the hosts, and we find out what their answer is. We're going to start with you, Omega. What wrestler would make the best announcer once their career is over with?
Miz. Hands down.
Mike Mizanin. Because he's awesome?
On a microphone, yeah. He can work a crowd. He can piss people off as a heel announcer. I think he'd do great.
All right, so there you go. The Miz would be a great announcer. Spug, what do you consider to be the greatest wrestling city based on the crowd's reactions to the product?
If I have to pick any city, past or present, I would say Atlanta, Georgia.
Hotlanta.
I would honestly I would say Atlanta, Georgia.
So you figure that there's the hottest.
Yeah, I've never heard a crowd erupt like Atlanta has for events ever.
Okay.
And I'm really looking forward to April at WrestleMania.
Okay. Good answer, yeah. Atlanta's always been a very, very hot crowd. Mace. Is TNA making a mistake by starting to turn the Pope heel?
No. They need some more credible heels on that program. Give us something interesting to watch. And if the Pope's got to do it, well, then the Pope's got to do it. It's the same principle as Cena. You know, the Pope's been a face. He's been popular with the crowd. Turn him heel and see where it goes.
Okay. There you are. Not a bad idea at all. So says Mace. Omega, question number two. any truth to the rumor that all of Matt Hardy's intestinal problems were caused by a one-night stand with Lita?
No. When your intestines explode, that is like... Remember, he was with Lita 6 years. 6 years.
So
can you imagine what can build up in your system in 6 years?
I was going to say it's an overdose that slowly accumulated as opposed to a one-night shot.
The man is lucky he didn't take the entire state with him. I mean, that's a time bomb.
Okay. And
that's the definition of a dirty bomb. I'll put it that way.
Ooh. Okay. So, the answer is no. All right. Spug.
Yes.
What is the perfect prank call scenario?
Oh, my God. One... The victim shouldn't know that it's coming,
mm-hmm.
or have any inclination throughout the phone call. And two, you have to make it something believable. Like I think it was Jim Florentine years ago on Crank Anchors called this child abuse hotline and wanted to know that if he locked his child in a closet for 15 minutes at a time in the dark. I mean, it's just something that's so out there that most people would go, oh my God, he's fucking with them. But other people are, you know, freaking out about it. Those are the best.
Okay.
Yes, Rock, chime in.
This is where I shamelessly promote. We did some prank calls last night on TV radio, so check out the archive at wildtalkradio.com for all prank calls involving Tim Stein and... Maverick doing a gay voice.
Maverick did a gay voice last night. Yeah.
Who did you crank call?
We did a bunch of different random places in California.
I talked to Pizza Hut and ordered I ordered their nightly special to be delivered to the pharmacy just down the street.
Oh my God, I hate people like that. And I work in the pizza industry, dude.
Yeah.
The thing that people don't know is that when that happens, the drivers have to pay for that.
Yeah. Well, we disconnected long before the actual order finally went through, so don't worry about it. I was making sure that wasn't going to happen. So. But, Maverick called several sex shops, and a gay voice talked about lube.
Rock, the next time you do this, I want in.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure I can do a better gay voice than Mav.
Yeah, well, then yeah. But you should have been on Skype, because we randomly called you, because it was Tim Stein's idea.
Yeah, we just randomly called Maverick, because it's real same. Well, who should we call? And I said, call Mav, make him do it.
I was out watching the pay-per-view last night.
Oh, well, there you go. But we were thinking about going to the old standby, finding a Kentucky Fried Chicken that was open, and asking them how big their breasts were.
That's old hat.
Yeah, well,
that's
an old
hat.
Like I said, it's an old standby. So there you go. All right, so Mace. All right, time for your question. If Tim's Rock, you and your questions, for Christ's sake. Okay, Mace. If Tim Stein was a wrestler, what song would you give him as entrance music?
Do you believe in love by Cher?
I'm so fucking glad this wasn't your question.
That's all right. Even though one of our most hated people used it, I was going to go Copacabana.
Dude. Macho Man by the YMCA. Dude, I could see Tim with the porn mustache and the yellow construction hat coming out.
Yeah, I don't think so. It's too bad Will's not here, because I would have liked to have his answer to his second question. I'll just tell you guys what it is. What's more impressive, a John Cena rap or a John Cena dropkick?
Lately, I would go with the dropkick.
So...
Oh my God, he did something different.
There you go. Hey, yeah, well,
which
it's the second...
to get?
It's the second... It's the second hour we've been on the air, and believe it or not, this is time to wrap it up. It's one of the shorter shows we've done in recent history. Everybody, this has been Wrestle Talk Radio WTR Sunday night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't forget to sign up for the newsletter if you haven't done so yet. Really simple to do. Just look to the left of the chat, and you'll see it right above the WTR programming. It says to insert your email address. Just insert your email address and wait for the validation email to come in. Check your emails. When you see the validation, click on the link, and you will be subscribed. We're getting a lot of subscribers. The list is growing, and there's going to be a lot of really interesting information and all that other fun stuff in the regular newsletters. So make sure that if you haven't signed up, do so. This Tuesday night, OWW Radio with your host, Alan, won't you listen? His guest will be Homicide on OWW Radio this Tuesday night, 9 o'clock Eastern. Remember, the geeks are back at it this Wednesday night at 9 o'clock Eastern, Otaku Talk Live. Thursday, there will be no Anything Goes. No, in its place, Sir Rockin' will be Sir DJ, and he's going to live up to his name because he's going to be rocking the house. Isn't that right, Rock?
Exactly, like you're rocking this tune.
Absolutely, you dumbass. Get that off there and play something else. Friday night, running the ropes. Oh, my God, Maverick and Nick actually had ratings last Friday night. Let's see if it'll happen this week, 6 o'clock Eastern, running the ropes. And we'll get more music going after them. There will be no YMCA. There will be no In the Navy. There will be no Village
Show
whatsoever on Friday night. Saturday, midnight-ish, or as close as they can get to it, more crank phone calls and a bunch of assorted bullshit on CB Radio. Of course, next Sunday night, more Rust Talk Radio after Hell in a Cell. So,
New Bash in the Books sometime around Thursday, Friday this week.
There you go. So take a look for Rust Talk Radio after the pay-per-view. And, Bash in the Books, Episode 3 in the books, as it were, podcast has been archived. You can download it or listen to it streaming. Just go to the archives page, and you're good to go. Mace talking comic books. I guess they come out Wednesdays, do they, Mace?
They do. As soon as OTL goes off the air, I'm heading off to the comic book store to pick up the new ones.
And there you go. So you basically stole the thunder about you doing Episode 4 to be podcasted on Thursday. So, look for Episode 4 podcasted Thursday right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. That's pretty much it. Don't forget, you can change that music now, seriously, because it's just
No, this is your entrance music, dude.
No. Fuck you. Anyway, Johnny Cashmere debuting tentatively scheduled for October 5th, right before OWW Radio, so everybody pay attention to that and say hey to Johnny Cashmere when he debuts right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. That's all we got. Have yourselves a great week. We'll catch you next weekend right here, Wrestle Talk Radio.
Been listening to Wrestle Talk Radio, a Wild Talk Radio Network feature presentation produced by WTR Productions. For complete archives of this podcast, check out the official website of Wild Talk Radio Network located at wildtalkradio.com.